I'm going to bring something very, very simple, but I hope timely and helpful for our church right now. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is chapter 12. This is not the beginning of any kind of series here on Wednesday evenings. This is a standalone one-time lesson, and actually something that I've already spoken with our teenagers about in Bible class a couple of weeks ago. I was able to, we welcome in the folks that have been over in King's Kids. Come on in, folks. Thanks for joining us. But I did a couple of Mondays in a row with them on specific topics. And the last time I was with them, I did a lesson on transition truths. Transition truths. And so I want to bring that lesson to you tonight. I've added some to it, of course. But look at chapter 10 and verse number 12. Paul is writing the Corinthian church, and I'm going to give a little context in just a moment, so bear with me. And he says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Now, it's obvious that this past Monday, we started a new chapter here at Faith Baptist Church in the area of our youth ministry. It was a sweet service on the Sunday evening. I really thought Brother Mick did a wonderful job and really gave us his heart in thanking us for everything. There will always be a period of adjustment when a couple like the Halls leave a church. It's obvious that they had endeared their hearts, not just to the teenagers, but to all of us over the years that they've been here. And that's, you know, and that's how it should be, a period of sadness coupled with excitement, you know, because we have the honor and privilege of sending another man out to pastor a local church. Now, not all the men that we've sent out to pastor churches grew up here. Some of them did, but some of them are on the mission field. Others are here in the States. There's 9 men that has either grown up here at Faith Baptist or come through this ministry that are now pastoring churches and preaching every Sunday. That's a blessing, church. That's an honor. And so we're excited for him and Leah to have this new opportunity. So I want to mention some Bible truths that can apply to the matter of transition. And as I said, I already went over this with the teenagers in Bible class, but it's important for the parents of our teens as well to have this lesson. It's important for all of us to understand these truths. Let me just give you a little bit of history here, dating back to last year. December 2019, Andrew Reardon was finishing his he did 4 years of college and 3.5, and he was finishing his last semester. He was in my classes, and we would talk often because of the relationship, of course, you know, born here, reared here for how long. And he expressed to me that, you know, God had called him into evangelism. I was happy for him about that. But he said, more than once, he said, "I would like to work for a pastor." I don't think he was gunning for me. He just mentioned, we were just talking. He said, "I'd like to work for a pastor for, you know, 3 years and just kind of be involved in church ministry before I become an evangelist." And so on the last day of classes, a year ago, 2019, after the final, I asked him to come talk with me for a little bit. And I said, "Look, why don't you come do your internship at Faith Baptist Church? You can come here. We can let you go through the different ministries, work with Brother Mick, work with Brother Bragg, work with Brother Allen, and all these different ministries. And we'll talk some. You and I will talk some. And just intern here for 3 years." I think I told the fellows about it at the January financial meeting. Mentioned that. And he said he'd pray about it. And he did. And he said, "Okay, I will come." All of that took place before I knew anything about Brother Mick being called the pastor. Now, according to Brother Mick, I don't know if he ever shared this with the church. Maybe he did. He actually sensed that call in some very serious prayer time a year ago over the Thanksgiving holiday. That's when it really all got settled for him. And he said, "I can take you, Pastor, I can take you to my journal and show you where I wrote down, I know that today God has called me to pastor a church." People, when a man tells me that, I'm not going to interfere with that. It's not my right to interfere with that. I don't want to interfere with that. And so, you know, I didn't know anything about that when Andrew was invited to come. So, you know, what are we going to do? Brother Hall's leaving. I started praying. Should we bring somebody else in? What should we do? And it just didn't feel like it was the right thing to bring somebody else in. Sat down with Brother Andrew and said, "Look, I'm not going to interfere with God's call on your life to be an evangelist. I don't want to impede that call at all. I want to help you with it. But Brother Mick is leaving. You've been helping him. Do you mind stepping into some of the youth ministry responsibilities? And this was his answer. He said, Pastor, I am not thinking about the next phase of my ministry. I am here to help in whatever way you need me. That's the right thing to say, okay? And so I said, okay, if you'd like to do that, I would appreciate it. So he's going to be stepping in to most of Brother Mick's responsibilities. He is scared to death. He's excited. And you know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful for God's provision ahead of time. I really am. So let me just give you some transition truths. I have three of them for us tonight, and we'll be done. First of all, as we find here in our text, comparisons are unwise. Comparisons are unwise. Now, Paul makes a statement here in verse number 12 that should be applied to so many areas of life. It's a biblical principle, folks, that it is not wise to compare one person to another. Look, there's nothing wrong with being challenged by somebody else's testimony, their life, their dedication. There's certainly nothing wrong with learning from both their successes and their failures. God put both of that in His book for us. So we get both of those. But when you start into the area of comparing and measuring, the Bible plainly says that's not wise. Now, let me just tell you quickly here the context. Paul is defending his rightful authority to have influence among the Corinthian church. He started it. He won the great bulk of them to Christ. Okay, he was there 18 months in the city of Corinth, preaching and witnessing and so on, and got the church started. So he wasn't the pastor, but he still had some rightful authority there in these times amongst local churches as they were all getting started on his missionary journeys. Now, other men had influence there as well. And some of these men were vying for the most influence. They were vying for more influence. And in order to create, a desire in the Corinthian church's heart to have them as the most influential person, they began measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves to see, who should be the most influential. And Paul is just saying, look, truth of the matter is, I most of you are my spiritual children, and I still have a viable, rightful interest in the church, and I should have influence in the church. And he said, you know what, folks, the truth is, it's not wise to measure yourselves by yourselves and compare yourselves among yourselves. It's not a wise practice. God only makes one of each person. Only one. There's only one of me. There's only one of you. And for us to measure ourselves by ourselves or compare ourselves among ourselves is not wise. Comparisons, in my thinking, now this is just my thinking, comparisons have the potential to cause us, number one, to be proud, or number two, to be discouraged. Now you tell me which one of those is good. Neither one of them are good. Pride's terrible, pride's awful, and discouragement can be just as debilitating as pride can be sinful. And so neither is profitable. The obvious lesson is that comparisons are not wise. Now listen, just think with me just a minute, okay? Because I'm talking, and I guess tonight, really my target group here are those of you who currently have teenagers in the youth group. And there are several of you that have your kids under in the youth ministry, all right? Now, comparing Brother Mick to Brother Andrew and Brother Andrew to Brother Mick is not a wise practice. Now think about this, folks. The Brother Mick who left here on Monday, November 30th, 2020, is not the Brother Mick that came here in March of 2008. If anybody should know that, it's me. Okay? Some of you weren't here, and those of you that were here, you need to, the mature man stood here on Sunday night and preached a great message. That was not the man that came here. Okay, he was a green behind the ears kid, fresh out of Bible college. And I knew that when Brother Mike and him started together. Brother Mike's got a couple of years. You got two or three years on him, a couple of years, 2 years on Brother Mick. But they both had no full-time experience. Brother Mike had grown up in a pastor's home. Brother Mick's dad had started a church in Seoul, Korea as a missionary over there, in the army over there. So they both had been reared in homes with ministry experience, but as far as being in a position, they never had that opportunity before. So, you know, but the Brother Mick that came in 2008, the Brother Mick left in 2020, there was a lot of growth between that coming and that going, and that's to his credit. That's to his credit. He allowed God to grow him and shape him and mold him in the 12 plus years that he was here. Now, to compare the present Brother Andrew to the present Brother Mick, that's not a fair or wise comparison. You know, if you're going to compare, and it's not wise to, you've got to compare the present Brother Andrew to the past Brother Mick. That's what you have to do. You have to take the 2020 version of Andrew Reardon and compare him to the 2008 version of Mick Hall. And why do that? God said it's not wise. It's unwise. And by the way, just so you know this, when I sat down with Brother Mick and we began to talk about what to do upon his leaving, and I threw out, I said, well, Brother Andrew is here. He's young. And God knows my heart, because I am so afraid to say statements like this publicly. But here goes. Right now, we don't have a novice youth group. We have a pretty solid youth group. Okay? And Brother Andrew's young. He's young. And I was tossing that around to Mick, and Mick told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I really believe that Andrew is further along in many areas of ministry than when I came. And I don't think he was just trying to be humble. I think he was being serious. And we were talking, okay? And so, you know, folks, you know, you parents especially, you know, don't compare the Brother Andrew of 2020 to the Brother Mick of 2020. That's not a fair, wise comparison at all, okay? Big difference there. God makes men different for a reason. And He places them where He knows it is best for both them and others. Here's the thing. How is Brother Andrew going to fill Brother Mick's shoes? He's not going to. Who can do that? You don't fill somebody else's shoes. Your shoes replace their shoes when you step into the position that they occupy. How does a Joshua follow a Moses? I'm going to tell you how he does it, folks. He doesn't do it by filling Moses' shoes. He couldn't fill Moses' shoes. But by using his own shoes to stand in the same place that Moses stood in, hey, you know what? It worked out. And the truth of the matter is, God helped Joshua. Because the Bible says more than once there in that passage when Moses died, Joshua becomes the spiritual leader of the children of Israel. More than once the Bible says that God magnified Joshua in the eyes of the people. Now think about it. We talked about this before. It's not new to you. Magnification. When you put a magnifying glass on something, the size of the object does not change. The magnifying glass makes it look bigger. Joshua was the same man. He'd always been. He didn't have to fill Moses' shoes. He took his shoes and stepped into the place where Moses' shoes used to be. And God put a magnifying glass on him in the eyes of the children of Israel. And they were like, man alive, we have a leader. And you know what? The truth is, God might just do that for Brother Andrew in the hearts of these teenagers. Okay? He might just do that. So that's what he needs to do. He doesn't need to fill Brother Mick's shoes. No, no. You say, well, I'm concerned that my teens won't respect and won't respond to Brother Andrew like they have with Brother Mick because they've had this, you know, 2, 4, 6 year relationship with Brother Mick. Folks, you know, first of all, give it a little time and let God do some of that. All right? Let God do some of that. Can you imagine how wearisome it would be to try to be someone you are not? You know how wearisome that is? That's exhausting. And you know, someone you were never meant to be. When we talked about this with Brother Andrew, I told him, you do not have to be, you cannot be Brother Mick. You can't. You have to be Brother Andrew. That's who you are. And the reason I talk with the teenagers about this, and I'm talking with you about it tonight, is because we're not talking here about a man who was here 4 years and left. We're talking about a man who stayed here almost 13 years. That's a long time. and hearts get knit, and influence becomes more powerful, become more influential, if you will. Think with me for a moment about men in the Bible who followed men who were very influential leaders. Solomon followed David. Remember that? Okay. David was a man of war. Solomon, a man of peace. David was poetic. Solomon was learned in wisdom and knowledge. They were two different men, even though they were father and son. Oh, yeah, there were similarities because of the blood connection, the DNA, but they were still two different individuals. Elisha followed Elijah. You talk about a contrast between those two prophets of God. Elijah was this brazen, outspoken, powerful in speech, loner, ready to move in for the kill. You remember the confrontation on Mount Carmel? 850 of them, their heads rolled. 850. Kill them all. Boom. Of course, God did some of it and he killed the rest. That was Elijah. Now, Elisha was more individually hands-on. For instance, the college boys were going to cut some timber down and get some lumber to build a larger dormitory. Hey, where are you boys going? We're going to go cut some lumber to make a dormitory. He said, okay. They said, why don't you go with us? He said, oh, okay. Yeah, he went along. And he went and he ate with them. He was there when the oh my goodness, there's death in the pot. That's normal for college, Bible college meals, amen. There's death in the pot. If it's not in the pot, it's in the sack lunch that they give you to take to work. That's where the death really is, amen, right there in those sack lunches. But anyway, oh my goodness. We had two pieces of bread and a four-week-old piece of cheese. That was it. If you lost your cheese out of that sandwich, you were in trouble, brother, I'm telling you, because that's all there was to it. Oh man. Or peanut butter that was, oh. And those, and they must have worked a deal with the Hostess bread factory. You remember those fruit pies Hostess used to make? Cherry, peach, apple. We got those things, but they were not day old. They were not. And this is pre-microwave days, so we're out of luck, buddy. I guess put them on the radiator of your car and let it run on the engine block, let it run for a little bit. And you're talking about the Raritans, your dad and Uncle Don, that's what Grandpa used to do. Put food on the engine block and let it heat up when they were on camping and stuff. But anyway, I'm off target here. So Elisha, he's there when there's death in the pot. And he's my point is, he's with these guys. He's hanging out with them. He's not a loner. And, you know, a little bit different personality. You remember when the Syrian army surrounded he and his servant there at Dothan? And, you know, the guy's all nervous. Oh, my goodness, they're going to kill him. And Elisha prays, Lord, open his eyes and here's all these angels with these flaming swords standing between them and the army. And then you know what God did? God blinded the Syrian army. And Elisha said, okay, boys, follow me. And he took them right into Samaria, into the capital city of Israel. And then he prayed and the blindness went away. And the king of Israel said, let me kill them all. And Elisha said, no. No, we're not going to kill them. Let them go. Elijah, he'd have said, follow me, walk him right off a cliff. That's what he'd have done. Elijah would have done that, but not Elisha. He's a different personality. He was a different temperament than Elijah, and yet he followed in Elijah's footsteps. It's just not wise to compare men among men and measure men by men. So if you are a parent of a teenager, and your teenager comes home from an activity, how is it? Well, it was fun. You know, when Brother Mick, we got it. We just, look, hear him out. It's going to happen. Don't shut him down. But don't you get caught up in comparing a 13-year veteran to a rookie. Or a rookie to a 13-year veteran. That's not a fair comparison. And it's not wise. Amen. That's true. Okay. So comparisons are not wise. Number two, do not let your heart rule your mind. Or you can say it this way, don't let your emotions rule your thoughts. I came here to Faith Baptist. My official first Sunday as pastor was the first Sunday in June, 1990. I preached the previous Wednesday night because I was here, and I did the last graduation for Faith Christian School on the Friday night, and started on that Sunday, June the 6th or something like that, 1990. 6 months into it, I'm discouraged. You know, and God was doing good things for us, but I was not discouraged about the church. I was discouraged about how I felt about the church. Because I still had Marion Avenue tugging on my heart. And I remember I went out to the state park, and you could walk out there. I just walked around and just prayed and asked the Lord, said, Lord, what's wrong with me? I don't have these people on my heart like I did the people in Washington, Iowa. What's wrong with me? And the Spirit of God comforted my heart and kind of reprimanded me. And he said, listen, hey, you cannot compare 10 years to 6 months. I've been there 10 years. You know, there's a lot that happens in 10 years that knits your heart to people. You know, and when we were preparing to leave, we had about the same thing Brother Mick did here. You know, I preached here on April 22nd. I think I accepted the call. The church voted that night. I went back and talked to Brother Brown. Then I called Brother Joe and I said on the 29th, I believe those were the dates because I remember preaching on the 22nd. It was my brother's birthday and Toby Pobance walked the aisle in that old building and got saved that morning. Toby Pobance. And so I think I called Joe on the Saturday, on the 29th, but I told him, I said, I'm not going to come. I'm going to finish. My kids were in school, and I'm not going to root them out of their school this close to the end. So we had about a month, like Mick did here. And in that last month, it was all those, you know, goodbyes. I was there a full 10 years. Full 10 years. I started on Memorial Day weekend of 1980, and I finished on Memorial Day weekend 1990. And in that last month, you know, people would say, I remember when you came to the hospital. I remember when you called. I remember when you, Pete Schaefer, a lot of the teenagers know Pete Schaefer from football camp and refereeing the ball games. And Pete Schaefer, Brother Brown had no family in Iowa, none. All their family was in North Carolina. So he would go twice a year, summertime and Christmas time, twice a year, 2 weeks each time. We went to Atlanta every other year. We went to Atlanta every year in the summer and then every other year at Christmas. And it was that Christmas when Brother Brown and I were both gone. We were in Atlanta. He was in North Carolina. And Pete Schaefer's dad died. He died at home. He was Catholic. Never got saved. Pete and his brother, I can't think of his brother's name right now, witness to him. The day he died, the Catholic priest came to visit with him and say the last rites, brought a 32-ounce bottle of Old Milwaukee beer. Sat there and drank it with him, with Pete's dad, on the day that he died. And Pete called, brokenhearted, and he said, hey, look, and he said, you know, he said, you guys are on Christmas. Don't worry about it. And I let Brother Brown know. And I can't remember. I think I called Brother Brown. I said, look, Christmas is over. And we had a great time. We can go. So we loaded up 3 or 4 days early and drove up to Washington to our home. And went to Mason City to the funeral. And Pete Schaefer has never forgotten that. Ever. It's those kind of things that tie your hearts to people, okay? So here I was 6 months into it at Faith Baptist Church, and I just hadn't had those opportunities to tie my heart to everybody like I had in 10 years. So here my emotions are ruling my thoughts, and my emotions are leading the way instead of my thinking leading the way. And at the state park that afternoon, I got that all fixed with the help of God. God helped me get my thinking first and my emotions second. And that's how you have to go through life. You have to go through life with your head leading the way, not your heart. When I say heart, I'm talking about your emotions. Now, Some of you have had Brother Mick as your teens youth pastor for several years. You've had more than one of your children under his leadership, and a lot of you feel very deeply about him, and you should. And now Brother Andrew's coming in leading the group, and you do not and you will not feel as deeply about Brother Andrew as you felt about Brother Mick. Yet. That kind of stuff takes time. Time. It's impossible to fairly compare years to weeks. It's impossible. So when your teenager comes home and says, "Yeah, we had a great time with Brother Andrew. We laughed a lot and had fun, had a great game or whatever we did. But, you know, it's just not Brother Mick." That's okay. It's all right. But you just help them remember, and you remember, okay? This thing takes time, and you don't put your heart out in front leading. You let your mind lead, and you have your heart follow. Give Brother Andrew an opportunity to be a blessing to your children. And your heart will warm up to him just like it did to Brother Mick. You want to warm up your heart to an adult? Be a blessing to their child. You want to get an adult talking? Ask them about their children. Everybody wants to talk about their kids. And this is one of those areas of life where it's necessary for our minds to rule our hearts instead of our hearts ruling our minds. Our thoughts have to lead the way here, not our emotions, because this man was well-loved and rightly so. And somebody's only been here for what, since July? Steps in. It takes time. It takes time. Give it that time. So, comparisons are unwise. Don't let your heart rule your mind. And number three, we're done. None of us can predict the future. Now, who knows what is in the future for our teenagers? I said it before. I'll say it again carefully. God knowing my heart, I understand the thing can go sour in 3 weeks or less. It's a fairly solid youth group for the moment. All of that can change for the better or for the worse, depending on a lot of different circumstances. Okay, a lot of different things. But nobody knows the future. You know, I talked about David and Solomon a little while ago. Do you know that the kingdom of Israel was a great kingdom under David's rule? But it became even greater under Solomon. The glory days of Israel as a nation were not under David. They were under Solomon. The Queen of Sheba didn't come when David was on the throne. And, "Oh, good night." But she did when Solomon was on the throne. Did you know that Elijah worked 8 miracles? Guess how many Elisha worked? 16. Isn't that interesting? Lord, I'd like a double portion of his spirit. 16 miracles. So what are you saying? Is it going to get better under Brother Andrew? I don't know. I don't know. My opinion, the spiritual health of our youth group over the years has been like this. Hardly anything in life is static, including your Christianity and mine, including your spirituality and mine. Why do we expect the teenagers to be any different? It's going to be strong and weak and better and worse, and okay? I mean, folks, look, you know, they conducted an entire service here from start to finish. I think some of you were figured that as soon as things that they would say, "Okay, Pastor, we'll turn it over to you." But Mick and I had that all planned. And when they dismissed the service, it was kind of like, "Where's Pastor Angel? I was going out the door with you." That's what I was doing. That was a wonderful service. And the difference in those three boys that preached from last year to this year, I'm glad they're not in here, okay? Because, well, it can go to a teenager's head if you're not careful, quick. I just know this. Whatever happens with our teenagers will be a joint effort between home and church. always has been, always will be. Because it is not the church's responsibility to rear your teenager. You know that. It's yours. It is our responsibility to help you. And can I say it's an honor and a privilege to help you. And one of the greatest joys of my life. You know those pictures on those walls out there? Y'all figured out what that is out there, right? That's the missionaries and evangelists that came through Faith Baptist Church. Not all of them are sent out of here, but they came through here. And then you start adding the names of the young people that have married into, that their husbands are assistant pastors or like Marty Montgomery. If we just started putting pictures of those people up there, and we decided not to do that because it would be a bunch. It's been one of the privilege of my life for 30 years. And Jason Minkowski and Don Reardon and Mick Hall, those Mike Bragg, who's here with the, it's the privilege of our life to try to help you a little bit with your teenager. It's wonderful. Doesn't always turn out, but a lot of it has. And I just know this, it's a joint effort between home and church. And there were some here, I'm not necessarily thinking of anybody here now, but there were some here in 2008 who thought that Brother Mick would never be the youth pastor Jason Minkowski was. Would never be. I know that for a fact. It'll never be what Jason Minkowski was. But I will tell you what, things turned out pretty well. Things turned out pretty well. In the end, God does the work in the heart of a teen who presents their life to Him. And that's the key thing going forward that home and church ought to work together on. Hey, guy. Hey, girl. Give your life to God. You know what that happens? It'll be just fine. Be just fine. So transition truths, okay? We enter a different stage, you know, and Andrew's going to make some mistakes. He's going to make some. That's going to happen, okay? Maybe he won't take a bus to Peoria instead of Bourbonnais like Minkowski did. I still remind him about that once in a while. A preacher! All right, Brother Jason here. Yes, sir. We're going to be a little later getting home tonight. Okay. Bad weather? No, sir. We're in Peoria. Coming from Iowa. Then how are you in Peoria? Well, we took a wrong turn. Okay. Yeah. A great big smile on his face. Oh, man. And maybe Andrew will end up in Waukesha, Wisconsin or something, go the other direction. But anyway, I'm excited about it. I'm happy for him. And you know what? I want to say this. The young people have a great spirit about Brother Andrew right now, and I appreciate that. Amen. All right, that's it for tonight. We're going to pray. Guess what you're going to do? Going to go get your kids out of the gym. All right, Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless us. Thank you for the opportunity to spend these moments together tonight. We pray for the youth of our church going forward. God, would you please grow them, teach them. And Lord, I pray that each one of them would surrender themselves to you wholeheartedly and bless those here at the church, Brother Andrew especially, as he leads that group right now. Bless Brother Mick and his new responsibilities in Iowa. Fill him and use him there. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.